The topic today is row, row, row your boat with a friend. Yeah. So it's important that to be safe, we need a companion, especially when out in the wild. We're going to hear about that. Our speaker has a love for the outdoors. I've gotten to know that he's caught a fish a month for a number of years. He is a Wyoming master angler. And he's a brother in a Bible study. So we'd love to hear. Welcome, Steve Thompson.
Maestro, give us a tune. You guys are the second of the round, and this whole side is going to be the third. Here we go, ready up here.
Tell you, I did that by ear.
I think we practiced all week. I told him that we wanted to kind of take a look at that. I've been on Diamond Lake a couple of times before July 5th of this year. When we were up there in 2020, I caught this 16-inch brown or brook trout, really big brook trout, and I turned it in, and I'm a master angler here for Wyoming. It's kind of nice to have something like that. I've been on that lake before that too, on a beautiful day in a crystal clear water. I think I caught 12 fish that day. We caught browns and we bought rainbow trout on that beautiful day. Well, on the 5th, I hadn't seen my buddy for a good 6 months because he was gone, and we head up to Wyoming. Got to the lake about 3 o'clock. Now, just before that, you stop at the West Laramie Fly Shop to find out what's going on. And Kyle says, "Hey, what are they doing at Diamond Lake?" Well, we don't talk about Diamond Lake. First clue. We get on down to the lake. It's about an hour out of Laramie. We come over the hill. There's not a person probably within 50 miles. And as we put the boat canoe in the water, it's churned. So the total opposite of what it was like when I was there and caught all the fish. And we start going, got a little Kota motor, and we work our way probably 3/4 of a mile into the reservoir, you know, the lake, and a few rises, but we figure this isn't gonna work real well for us today. And started to turn to kind of go a little east. And here's one of those southern storms that we had this summer. Big mistake, because we're starting to do this and we're heading in and the wind just keeps coming. And I says, "Kyle, we need to go in." And I've got the Kota motor here that I'm working, and the swells just kept coming and coming. And over on the side here, there's a snow fence. And after about 15 minutes, we aren't going. And those swells are coming up, say 3.5-4 feet. Well, every time that we come in here, my motor's out of the water. And so I'm trying, you know, to keep it together. And then we kind of go here with the wind. He's a big guy, but when he got squared away going into the headwind, I kind of got a little relief. 20 minutes. And I said, Kyle, we're going over. We're in the water. And we need to come up. And I can't get my breath. And the boat rolls. In fact, we started getting really good at catching that boat. We could catch the far side, the thwart, the other side, and then it was back down. Well, we both, I can't talk because we got to stay with the boat. We both knew we needed to stay with the boat. Well, I had waders on for a few moments. Thank goodness they weren't cut to my pants, because they went down like you saw in the Titanic when they drowned. Battery, motors flying up here every time the thing went over. Well, the anchor is down here, nose down. We're just buoys up here, back and forth. I go down here and I can't get it undone. Work my way back to the middle of it. Carabiner, I scream. And so Kyle worked his way over there and he knew to unhook it. So then we were able to, you know, get pushed with the wind. But the problem was then the boat's going and it rolled 35 times, guys. This wasn't just a couple of little days. It was just right at us. Well, Kyle found it away. He's a lot taller than me. He could put his foot across the you know, underneath and keep it from rolling as much. But the second thing I screamed is, I don't want to die today. And I looked down that boat, and you know, I thought of my baby and her baby and my wife, Elizabeth and Katie and Robin. And I just hung onto that thwart underneath with my eyes closed, and I kicked as hard as I could. I kicked and kicked and kicked and kicked. And we worked our way over to the northwest part of that lake. And Kyle goes, look, Steve, I think I'm touching sand. And then we drifted farther back out. I'm freezing. My lungs full. We finally get over to the side, and somehow I go up there, and he's in the fetal position down there. You know, he's 6'2", 200-some pounds. I picked him up. I got him on his feet and grabbed him under the arm, and he then got a burst of energy and started taking. There was an outhouse about a quarter mile away, and we worked our way there. I said, stop. I couldn't catch my breath. My lungs were full. We get into the outhouse, strip off our clothes. I help him take his off. I'm doing the naked dance because I know I'm hypothermic and I'm just in terrible shape. And fortunately, my keys were zipped into these pockets. So he says, here, take this off. He puts back on his vest, and he's got to go three quarters of a mile to get to the truck. Windy as long, you know. And so I'm just in there. I ended up leaning against the concrete blocks because they had a little bit of warmth in them. He gets back and brings me a bag. He brings me in a bag, and I put on my jammy pants and my leather socks. I get another shirt on. And I'm like, gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. Oh, gosh, my lungs. I can't get my breath. And kind of, since we've talked since, you know, he's having an allergic reaction to the alkaline in the water. He can hardly breathe. Doing all that. Well, his wife had given him some buffalo wool socks, so he wasn't losing heat in his feet like I was. Plus, his shoes stayed on. Big difference when you're in that cold water. Get in the truck, heck with the boat, and we're starting to get our way back out. I throw up three times, tried to eat something, threw up, drank a little water. My lung is full of water. Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. Get out on the road on the Highway 80, and he says, you want me to take you into the emergency room? Or do you want me to take you into Boulder? I'll come back tomorrow. I said, no. You know, if you go to the emergency room, all you do is put an IV in your arm and wake you up every hour. And that's really not a place to go. And we had a little room cut at Woods Landing, if you know where that is, up at the border. He says, no, let's just go there. And he feels pretty good. He starts laughing and telling the story. He says, let's don't read that book. I don't like this. Earlier he asked me, you know, I said, where are we? And he goes, well, we're at Diamond Lake. And then we get on down a little bit farther. He says, let's not relive this. He says, Steve, I think this is heaven. I go, no, it doesn't. The wind doesn't blow in heaven. So as we're getting close to the place, I'm going, well, we should take showers. We should get the gunk off of us. And the outhouse or the bathhouse was from here, you know, the man in the back there. And so I get to go first. Totally eliminate whatever I've got left in me, take a shower, get back in, and I cuddle up in bed with some more clothes on. He goes and takes his shower. And I take my medication. You know, I'm having to manage a lot of medication now. I wear this hat, guys, because I had that head injury, and the light still bothers me. Oh, my hat, it was gone, long gone, way long gone before that. In fact, I've gotten up on the boat, one of the first things, and I've got an in-reach thing that I usually carry. I didn't have it, but I tried to do the SOS thing. And then I realized, we're an hour away from anybody. There's not going to be any help anyway. That's the problem. And the battery. And as the boat was rolling, the motors here, and Kyle tells the story, says, what am I going to do if that hits Steve? Or he lets go of the boat. So he worked hard to keep me alive. And he got the last piece of the motor up. So we got the motor, the battery, rods, reels, lunch, the anchor now all at the bottom, the phone, and we're off going back. So I'm laying there and taking my pills and just going, okay, I mean, this is going to be pneumonia. It's going to be antibiotics, probably time in the hospital. And about 11:30, I go, oh yeah, my wife had packed some other food, so I ate some fruit. And I rolled over on my stomach, and God touched me. My lungs are clear. My hands don't hurt with the, you know, arthritis and all. It was like, wow, this close to death. If I hadn't had the vest on, if we had been in the water 15 more minutes, if it had been 5 degrees cooler, I don't get to tell you my story. So the next day, we get up pretty early. We told each other, you know, if anybody's got to the bathroom at night, you want to get your partner, you know, let's go together. Because again, it was a ways away, and we'd need to fall down. We get up and we go back to the lake. That's when we measured. It was 3/4 of a mile to the outhouse, another 1/4 mile to where we got out of the water. And we walked down, and there's the boat, face down to the mud. And I said, well, I'll go get the truck, and you walk the north rim and see if any of our stuff's there. So I go get the boat, and I break the rules because I went over a kind of a little fence there to get it closer to the edge. He walks around there, and he finds a bag of GORP that floated in. Two of these floatants were there. A plastic back to the canoe that, you know, you sit back on. A beer floated in. That's about it. That's about all he found. So a third act of God, or maybe 15. We can't get the boat, and I get a ratchet string to try to pull, and Kyle does his He-Man thing. We pop it out, and in below the seats are two oars and this rod. Everything else is at the bottom of the, you know, at the bottom of the tank. We got it loaded up, and, you know, have counted our lucky stars, and our God's intervened ever since. I haven't told the story now for about 3 weeks, but when one of these events happen, you get a high for about 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, you know, kind of off the chart. And I don't know how many times more I want to tell the story. Kyle has nightmares about it. He's a high school buddy of mine. He almost came today. He's in town, but It's probably a little too early for me to get up and get here. But he goes to California the next week and helps a high school buddy of ours, drives him to Denver, and then our buddy went on to Florida where he's moving. The next week he went to Nepal to help counsel for a Christian university. I don't think there's any Christian universities over there. And he suffers a stroke 2 days before he's to come home. And he's doing pretty good, but then a heart palpitation. He's had his heart shot twice, a new medication, stuff like that. Well, he's also my attorney. If you can have an attorney be your mission buddy and kind of get free advice. And he's helping me with a big deal that's got me stressed out. My last rodeo or something, trying to find it. So I started writing letters to God and to my family and things like that. July 9th, so there's, well, I had two things planned and I didn't want to not do them. So what do you do when this event happens? You either get right back on the water or you sell everything. And so we thought about the Craigslist, canoe, 15-foot Coleman canoe, trailer, oars, battery, motor, fishing gear, phone, or anchor, must have scuba gear. Because there's some good stuff down there at the bottom of that thing, or you get back out. So the next week, we'd already planned to go back to Wyoming for 2 years. My wife and I went up there, and we got on a boat, and I'm this close to the edge. I think I can swim that far. And if the storm ever hits, then we're closed. I'm not going there. She caught fish, I caught fish. Next day, we went up with his wife. We hiked up in the Klondike Lakes and caught little brookies and stuff like that. And then the next week, I had a reservation at Rocky Mountain National Park to get in the backcountry, a backcountry permit, and I couldn't miss it. My son was supposed to take me and haul me up there. It was tents and all, but his wife hurt his knee, and she can't. He can't leave her, and I said, "Well, I'm going. So don't tell anybody." But I slept in my camper down at the trailhead. You're not supposed to do that. And I did 13 miles round trip the next day. My wife, his wife, said, "Steve, you shouldn't go there. You shouldn't go alone. Heck, no water, no problem. I've been fine. There's a lot of people walking around here." So I went up to see a friend there. Thank you, God, for more than I know. Kyle Wright, he's a mentor I have in Bertha. Kyle Wright lost his dad in a hunting accident 2 years ago. Randy Thompson, that's my son, just about lost his dad in a fishing accident last week. Rob and Katie, I love you. Katie, just the way you are, as God loves me. Thankful for every push-up, sit-up, pull-up, dance, yoga, stretch, and prayer I've ever done. Because it took everything I had in my effort to get through there. And so God and Kyle saved me that day. I'm going fishing tomorrow. I don't think I'm getting in the boat. The debate is whether we're going to pull the canoe and go back to Woods Landing if we can get a place, or take the camper, which we've got. My son-in-law brought a blow-up boat. I'm sure not going in a blow-up boat. Kyle, on the way down, got his nose packed. He did that for 2 days before all that other activity happened. Got some Benadryl. We knew to drink some hot coffee or water or something like that. Make sure that you don't go alone when there's danger like this. Big mistake on my part on the hike. And he and I just got goofed up. We didn't look 360 degrees. Because the last storm came from the north, and this one came from the south. You know, I really appreciate getting to come in here and talk to you guys. Gene and Gene, the bookends, I wore my coat because you guys were wearing jackets making major presentations. And Gene is on the miracle theme, and I've heard him three times or more tell about the miracles in his life. And that was one of the biggest, probably that all, I hope the last one that I have to experience quite that bad. So with that, I'm going to shut her down and sit down and drink some coffee and answer any questions you have. And if you have a big event you want to tell us about quickly, that there's certainly time to do that. Thank you very much.
I have a question, Steve.
Yes, sir.
What is it that the West Yellowstone Fly Shop knew about that lake that they said we don't talk about it?
Interesting, Bob, that when we got home, and we didn't tell our family until we got home. And so my wife was there, two of my children, a couple grandkids, and Kyle had that lung. And Robin just has repeated that over and over. Steve, how come that didn't resonate? I mean, they just wouldn't talk about it. Now, the guy, the minister and friend from Laramie that took us out the next week, he was on the lake two days after that. And before I got to tell him my story, he said, oh yeah, the wind came up and it was horrible. And I said, well, I'll tell you about it. And
so it was wind was the issue.
Oh, we didn't have wet. That time it didn't get rainy. It was just the wind was awful. But they had caught a couple fish 2 days earlier. And when he and I, Conlon, went back the next day, there were about three fishermen out. I think the bottom line is you don't want to go out of there after wind. Somebody else?
Gary.
Yeah, Steve, what is there one thing that really kind of stands out with regards to going through an experience like that, that you come away? I mean, probably a lot of us may be in a kind of have comparable experiences in our lives, and just, you know, what thought do we dwell on subsequent to that?
Thank you. You know, the question is, what's the final point or the driving force? I mean, God is so good. And I must have started, I don't know if I ever finished the Lord's Prayer 16 times, which is, I said the Lord's Prayer a couple times a day anyway. You know, and I go, oh, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then the boat would roll and on, and God help me, and he did. So I pray more, and I am more appreciative of family and friends.
I guess what my thought would be is that, you know, the God's gift of life, you know, do we really appreciate it and be grateful for it, you know, day in, day out type of thing, and realize how, you know, if you don't have life, you don't have this experience, we may have another experience, but we no longer have this opportunity, I guess.
Has anyone else in here had a near death experience? Show of hands.
And they gave me 16% chance of dying on the operation table in 2013. So I wasn't conscious for that one. It's good. I just seem to be out. I'm going to get that close.
I hadn't really thought about I hadn't really thought about near-death experiences until just now during your talk, Steve. I recall back when I went to high school, 73, I remember we had a swimming pool in the inner city in Kansas City, Kansas. We had a swimming pool in our high school, and not many did back then, those days. But they taught us to swim. So I thought, I went through the, you know, the floating things, and I know to pass the class, you had to, you know, just swim from one side of the pool, the short width, the width, not the length. So in, you know, and I was good at just jumping in the pool and pretty much I could float all the way, you know, to the other side pretty much. So I thought I could swim, you know, I was comfortable in the water. And I joined the Army in 78, went over to Hawaii, did my training at Fort Sill, Oklahoma Field Artillery. Finished that, got my permanent duty assignment over in Hawaii, and went over there and Schofield Barracks up in Waiheawa, Hawaii. And we were together, my platoon, we were together one weekend, and the guys were having a pool party and they were playing water volleyball or whatever. And I'm thinking, you know, I can do this, I can swim. So I jump in and participate, and as long as I was moving, I was fine. But when I stopped, I dropped and went under like a rock. And I'm struggling, you know, trying my best. And so one of the guys pulled me out. I can't honestly tell you what was going through my mind, but I'm sure it was something in the lines of, oh God, oh God. But after that, I went to learn how to tread water. And then, and that's, you know, and that's the first thing I taught my kids when they learned to swim was how to tread water. But anyway, I'd never thought about that as being a near-death experience. Anybody else want to share real quick before we move on to prayer and praise time? No other? All right. Well, I...
my experience, I hit a tree about going 20 to 30 miles an hour. And fortunately, I ducked my head just a little bit and survived barely.
So when would, what went through your mind? Huh? Were you just in such pain you didn't?
Well, you know, it's not maybe so much the event itself. It's post-event what you think about and realize. You know, when you wake up in the hospital, you know, a couple of days later or something like that. And even subsequent to that, it's we say, hey, you know, why am I not dead? Does God have a purpose for me? Those types of thoughts are, I think, I'm grateful now that I can have those thoughts and that I do have those thoughts. For the experience, you know, I prefer not to have done it, but, you know, it happened.
To die. Yeah, when I was a kid, here in Boulder, over at Spruce Pool, me and my buddies were hanging out. I think I had probably been somewhere between 13 and 15 years old. It was a hot summer day, and they got me over to the pool. I never really took any swim lessons and knew how to swim. I don't know why I jumped in. All I remember is that I was drowning and the lifesaver saved, the lifeguard saved me. You know what I mean? And I don't really remember anything other than the fact that when I had my kids, I said, well, I'm going to make sure they learn how to swim. And so, and I get in the water, you know, I'm not the greatest of swimmers, you know what I mean, by all means. And so it's really interesting that when I went a couple of weeks ago up to Alaska to do the deep sea fishing, I actually really had to pray about it, call the kid to me, because I'm like out in the ocean. I'm not really a good swimmer. And so it was after I prayed about it, I had a choice to either go out on a Tuesday or go out on a Thursday. And I chose the Tuesday. And I tell you, it was like the water was so calm and it was just such a blessing. The sun was shining. And we drove 2.5 hours out into the Gulf of Alaska. The conditions were just perfect. And the guy that was driving the boat kept saying, man, the Thursday is supposed to be one of the worst days, and swells and all this kind of, and I was just like, thank you, Jesus. But the thing when we first got on the boat, though, is I'm thinking, wearing the life jackets and all this kind of stuff, but we're out there, and the dude is like, so if something happens, the life jackets are down there, and in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't have it right now, you know what I mean? And then if this happens, there's a thing over the boat, and you can do this and all this, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know? I'm like, I want to be able to access to it right now. But by the grace of God, nothing happened, and it was one of the most enjoyable times of my life.
Amen. By the grace of God. I was just thinking, we have this song, I Am a Living Testimony, that we sing, and the words are just the intro. I am a living testimony. I could have been dead and gone, but Lord, by your grace, you let me live on. By his grace, we all walked away. He provided. Ain't he good?